Johnny Pesky has died. Those four words send a lot of people here in New England hurtling back through time. They watched him on the field at Fenway as a manager and later a coach. Further back, they listened to him broadcast Red Sox games. Further still, many are still around who watched him play. He was a shortstop, but that does not come close to describing his position in the Red Sox firmament. The foul pole in Fenway's right field is named after Johnny Pesky because of his propensity for hitting home runs just inside it. I always smile when I think of a colleague who didn't know that. She thought it was called the Pesky pole because, you know, it got in the way.
High fly ball, deep down the right field line by the Pesky pole. Oh,
no. Johnny Pesky's real name was actually Pavesković, born in Portland, Oregon, to Croatian immigrants. But Pesky suited him. He was small, like a spark plug, and so kind. Even though fans turned their back on him back in a World Series game in 1946, when he was accused of holding the ball and letting Enos Slaughter score, he forgave us and himself and went on to become part of the inner circle called the teammates. Ted Williams, Dom DiMaggio. In the lineup, it went Dom, Johnny, Ted, and of course, Bobby Doerr. The late, great writer David Halberstam wrote a book about their friendship. In 2003, David and I sat down with Dom and Johnny at a book signing to talk about it.
He has the right words.
Johnny Pesky, why don't you start? What was it about Ted Williams that made him sort of the center of your group?
Well, it looked like he had a light on top of his head. That's the way he affected me. And when he held court, he held court. And he had three of the best listeners to listen to him.
He commanded attention. When he walked into a room, he was tall and you had to look up to look at him. He just attracted attention.
Well, Dom, remember when we all got back after the war was over, he'd come into the clubhouse and in a loud voice, Captain Williams is here.
Here's the pitch. Williams swings, and there's a long drive to deep right. That ball is going, and it is gone. A home run for Ted Williams.
Did you all make each other better baseball players?
Yes. He led off, I hit second, Ted hit behind me. And our ultimate job, Robin, in baseball lingo, we had to get on base. We had a lot of fun playing it, too. We'd laugh at one another and say, well, you do this, you do that. But we went through the whole process like it was a stage play or something like that.
That's right. I mean, as a leadoff man, my job was to get on base. Because once I got on base, then I had Johnny behind me and have the guys behind us drive us in. Best interest of the team, that's what we're there for.
That's right.
Robin, but the great teacher says you got to get a ball, you get a strike, you got to hit it. And if you hit it, you better hit it hard.
That's Professor Williams, your crew.
Yeah, Ted. We sat in the corner of the clubhouse. I can still see it. Bobby here, Dominic, and I can still see Dominic with a towel over his shoulder having a cup of coffee. There's the Professor Williams, and I'm sitting alongside of him, and now he'd start. And he'd say, so-and-so is pitching. You got to expect this. You got to look for this. You got to look for that. And I said, oh, my God, you got to be a Rhodes Scholar to understand you.
Dom, Johnny, and Teddy, they were a fierce force, together scoring 100 runs in 6 years. And with another California native and future Hall of Famer, Bobby Doerr, they forged a legendary friendship. That friendship is at the heart of an elegant book by author David Halberstam.
But it's not really my book. It's their book.
Here, we have to introduce another great character, Boston raconteur Dick Flavin.
I've been along for the ride for so long, and I was along for the ride down to Hernando, Florida, and I'm still along for the ride.
Dick Flavin was official first friend to the Fab Four teammates. He was also involved in the story that prompted Halberstam to write the book. The story of how, right after the events of 9/11, Dom and Johnny, both octogenarians, decided to drive the 1,300 miles from New England to Florida to see their very ill and dying friend, Ted, for the last time.
At the time, I wasn't overly enthused about flying. And then my wife rebelled, and she said, you can't drive at your age. She says, I don't think you should be driving. And Dick Flavin happened to be with us and said, well, I'll come with you. Well, that opened up the doors. I said, that lit a light in my head. I said, oh, great, Dick. And I said, let's call Johnny Pesky.
Road trip.
Yep. And I said, here it comes. And John jumped at the opportunity. And then the whole thing gelled together.
And we were all anxious to get there. Dick and Dom did all the driving. I sat back in the back seat like Mussolini with my arm, and I'm listening to this jibber jabber up in the front seat. One of them get on the other about driving the car, when they should pass, when they should stay in the lane, and all this.
I had seen Ted rather often, so I knew what to expect.
When we went in to see him for the first time, I thought I was going to cry, because here's this man that was all man and had a great charm about him. Even in his loud voice way, he had charm. And we actually loved this person, this man that we admired so much.
When we walked in the front door, you have to picture, you walk in the front door, and about 30 feet away in the living room, he is sitting in this wheelchair facing the front door. So I open the door and I walk in first. John comes in behind me. And as I step aside, John sees Ted for the first time. Now, Ted doesn't see John because he can't see him that far away. And John is shaken. Yeah, and he sees this big rugged guy, worn down to a mere shadow of himself. And it affected him. So when he finally recovered, he started walking dogwood toward him, and I kept yelling to Ted, "Johnny's here, Teddy, Teddy, John's here, Johnny Pesky, Pesky, where? And when he finally saw him, it's hard to describe the look that Teddy had when he saw John. And it was just a grateful look. He was so appreciative that John was there visiting with him.
Well, that would be the same, I think, if this happened to any one of us, that we had so much care for one another, Robin. I think it boils down to that.
You may know the story. Ted Williams died in 2002, shortly after that visit. You can read about his 70-year friendship with Johnny, Dom, and Bobby in David Halberstam's book, The Teammates. But as David told me back then, it probably won't be repeated.
Four guys growing up all on the West Coast, coming to one team, a baseball mad town, in roughly the same time, having this friendship, the love. That won't happen again. Big money, free agency, planes instead of trains. You'll never have that kind of affection and human texture again. And they were appreciative of the good things and the good things that endured in their lives in the way that many Americans now take good things that happen to them for granted.
You left one thing out: how we loved it. We loved it.
Oh, yeah. Dominic and Bobby and me and Teddy. You know, we were known as the Big Four from the West Coast. We were the Rabble Rousers, but we had a great love for the game of baseball and for each other.
Well, the teammates must have been doing something right. Bobby Doerr is still with us. He's 94. Dom DiMaggio died in 2009 at 92. Johnny Pesky followed yesterday, just like in the lineup, also at 92. I can just hear Dom saying, "Ted, Johnny's here. Johnny's here. Johnny Pesky." Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.